A lot of times when it comes to social media now, we're just adding extra pressure because we're like, okay, somebody told me I was good at this hobby, and now somebody asked me what my prices was. Now I'm like, I need to get prices.
First
I need
number
to
that
get
comes,
Yeah,
500.
like
I'll take it.
you know this is like a $2,000 piece. This took you 6 months to make.
You went and found these diamonds in the Sahara Desert and brought it back to America just to put this ring together. You mined the gold and brought it back to America just to melt it. And you built the mold out of a rock that you chiseled and chiseled and chiseled. And the first number that come to your mind is 500. You
$500.
think the 10,000 that it's worth is too much.
Or because one time you mentioned you would charge this $10,000 and somebody said, why would you charge that much? That's too much. So
I
then you're
minded the gold.
like,
Minded. Sound like Bill Cosby. I minded the gold. Found the pudding.
Please.
Push the goddamn button.
Action.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Great Area Podcast.
Girl. Yeah.
I am Shaquoia D.
Bod, mind, reasons, and ear.
It's your boy, Damani.
And welcome to the Great Area. If this is your first time here, welcome. If this is not your first time here, welcome back. This is a podcast where we like to break down the fabrics of life because not everything is always black and white. We like to have we like to talk about regular life from a creator's perspective, which means in layman's terms, we like to talk about whatever we feel like talking about. It could be love, it could be life, it could be music, it could be food, it could be family, it could be anything or nothing at all. We have interesting conversations and we just love to bring you guys in on them. If you haven't already, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Hit that notification bell so you never
Ding.
Miss an upload. And also, if you would like to watch this podcast live and early, because we do record our podcast at least 1 to 2 months in advance, then head on over to Patreon. The link is in the description below. And join the good people of the gray area. And for the low, low price of $3 a month, you can join in on the conversation as well as get exclusive access to other content that we have. You'll be able to watch Love the Creative Black Woman live, as well as more things that we have on the way for you guys. So stay tuned for that. And yeah, how are y'all today?
I'm good. Good. Doing well. Splendid.
Well, splendid. How about you?
I'm good. I'm tired now that, yeah.
Your sleepiness is hitting you?
Yeah, but I'm good.
But you're good.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm not sleepy. I'm actually really excited for my day.
Uh-huh.
But I will be taking a nap today. I know that much. I'm definitely taking a nap. But yeah, I'm good though.
It's good.
That's good. It's marvelous.
I just need some tea. What are we talking about today?
I thought you were going to elaborate on the tea, but today we're talking about today. Yeah, forget the tea. Today we're talking about not operating, not running our social media as a business anymore.
Okay, elaborate.
So for me, operating it as a business, it'd be making me overthink everything, opposed to just utilizing it to showcase what it is that I'm doing.
After okay. I did that, I was like, I should have waited.
Okay.
Yeah, instead of, yeah. When I think about operating it as a business, I'll be overthinking and I'll be wanting stuff to be perfect. Everything got to be just right. Mm. Opposed to like just utilizing it to put out the best quality that I can in this moment and progress over time while I'm showcasing what it is that I'm doing, what I'm working on, that type of thing.
You have any thoughts?
I do, but you seem like you were going to share them first, so go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say something.
Go for it.
I definitely agree with that sentiment, that ideal. I feel like when I started treating my stuff more like a business, I was looking for it to be perfect, but it was like, I'm still trying to figure out what I'm doing. And also, I didn't start on social media for it to be a, like, a business tool. So then trying to transition and from using it to, like, just post whatever I felt like posting to being like, oh, I need to be strategic. It needs to look like this. And with the algorithm changing every day, I remember there was one point where it was just like, this is just very stressful. But yeah, I don't necessarily feel like that now. But I also am, I'm actually working on a strategy so that I can post consistently, but I like to just be able to, my more authentic content versus my extremely curated stuff, I think it feels more natural, I guess. I don't even have extremely curated stuff. I wanted to have it, though. I wanted to. But then I realized, like, that's just not me. But what are you going to say?
I was going to say I agree with the both of you guys. I've been trying to transition from making my stuff, like, run like a business where... I want it to run like a business, but I think I'm trying to make it more like, and we talked about this before, but like, this is my art gallery. Like, mm-hmm. If you're coming in, come see what I made. If you want to buy, feel free, come through and buy something. Right. But in general, I think I would want it to be more like that. And I think the need to make things perfect when it comes to social media, it's like, it stops a lot of the progression for me. So like, I think whether or not it's meaningful, like, and the meaningful is very broad, but I think that's more so where I'm headed. Is like, does this mean anything to me? And if it means something, then I can go for it. Even if it's just something that I find funny, like, mm-hmm. It means that I found it funny. So I can post that. So that's where I'm currently at.
In the past, I think I told Shaquay this, in the past, I used to feel some type of way when people say I'm doing stuff like a hobby, right? But when I was doing stuff as a hobby, I was, like, if we talking about posting, I was posting a lot. And the stuff was good. Like, mm-hmm. It was good stuff. Mm. It could be better. It wasn't as polished as, like, if I was a professional videographer. But it was quality. But I was doing it, like, every day, every other day, multiple times a week. So I was extremely consistent. But I felt some type of way when people was like, but it's a hobby. And I'm like, nah, like, I'm really doing this. Like I'm really doing this. But I say that to say, now I'm going back to operating my stuff like a hobby. But now my business is in order. I feel like the confidence that I have in what I'm doing makes it a lot easier for when the opportunities to come. When the opportunities do come, I can take advantage of them.
I feel like from an artist perspective, an artist, and supposed to be an, not
a. Ain't that what you said?
I said Oh. From an artist perspective.
You said it again, man.
You were artist.
I said and that time. Oh, word. from an artist perspective, I feel like it's important that you recognize, like, social media is a tool that can be used, but it's not the business. Right. Yeah. And I think that a lot of times with a lot of the social media marketing and all of that stuff, we've gotten so used to people using social media as their business when it's like, no, I need to this other thing. My music is my business. This website is my business. These things that I own, that is the business. The social media, if you use it as a tool, you can get creative with it. But if you're thinking of it as this is the business, like this is the business model, that's when it starts getting stressful. Yeah. Because it's like, first of all, you don't even own this platform. This is not yours at all. Like, this is not your business. This is something that you're using. It's just another avenue that you're using. But I feel like once you start to think of it like that and start thinking of it as like a tool to help you versus like this is the business. Without this, I don't have a business. Then it's like you can start getting creative. You can start having fun with it. and like just go back to enjoying it. I feel like it kind of takes the pressure off at that point.
Social media is a billboard space. That's all it is to
me. Facts. So I like that.
It's just what you can do whatever you want. You can be as creative as you want with this billboard space. Some people just you drove by. This is a sign. Like, and it's just like it'll be something like that. I've seen stuff like that.
They definitely be having
it. They get super creative, and like it's all to a degree. At least in my opinion, it's also a degree, some form of a billboard, an advertisement, so that you can go to the person's business or see what this person is about or whatever. It's not necessarily the whole business model. Some people use it that way. And I was gonna say to Reese's point about the making stuff a hobby, I had to learn very quickly that I don't have to make a job out of every hobby that I enjoy. Right. Like, there's no reason why, like, just because I do it doesn't mean that I have to get paid for it every single time. I think in America in general, we, or just how our society is in general, we like prioritize you getting paid for doing things. And I do think people should get paid to do things that they like, but it doesn't mean that everything that you do, you need to make a business. You don't need an LLC. for every business. You don't need an LLC for every, if you like knitting on the weekends, you don't need an LLC for your knitting business. Like, you could just knit because you like to knit. And sometimes it takes away the enjoyment that you had when you were just doing it because you weren't thinking about other people when you were making it. You were just thinking about, this is my escape from work. But now your hobby isn't an escape from work because your work is your work. And now your hobby is your work. And yeah, so I definitely agree.
Yeah, I had to kind of learn that. I'm still learning it, I feel like, because I be having ideas, y'all. I be having ideas.
Brain blast.
Yeah. I was about to say it, but you just said it.
You was going to say that?
After you said it, then I was going to say it again, but I was like, well, he just said it, so why am I going to say it again? Nah, not yet. Almost. You just got to, if he cut the beard patch.
And the mustache.
And the mustache.
I'm going to be like, whoa.
If we cut the beard patch and the mustache, then it'll
and cut down the fro a little bit, then y'all.
Nah, because I'm growing mine now.
Oh, where y'all trying to, you trying to meet him at the middle?
Yeah, I got to meet him where he's at, you know. Yeah. Then it'll be twin telepathy at that point. Dang, what was I saying? Y'all made me forget my point. It was going to be
you gonna be
good.
Having ideas.
Oh, ah. I be having ideas. So as far as turning my hobbies, even like with the 30 days of self-care, I'm glad I did that as like content. But I did it knowing that, okay, I'm not looking to get paid from this or get like sponsorship or have people pay for something. Like, I just want to do this thing and I just happen to want to share it. And because I think it'll be something that other people can relate to or might be able to benefit from, that I feel like looking at it from that perspective kind of took it, took some of the pressure off. I think a lot of times when it comes to social media now, we're just adding extra pressure because we're like, okay, somebody told me I was good at this hobby and now somebody asked me what my prices was. And now I'm like, oh, I didn't have prices. I was just doing this. I need to get prices.
First
I
number
need
to that comes, 500.
Yeah, like, and it's like now you.
I'll take it.
And you know this is like a $2,000 piece. This took you 6 months to make.
You went and found these diamonds in the Sahara Desert and brought it back to America just to put this ring together. You mined the gold and brought it back to America just to melt it. And you built the mold out of a rock that you chiseled and chiseled and chiseled. And the first number that come to your mind is
$500.
I think the $10,000 that it's worth is too much.
Or because one time you mentioned you would charge this $10,000 and somebody said, why would you charge that much? That's too much.
So I minded like, the gold.
Minded. Sound like Bill Cosby. I minded the gold. Found the pudding. Oh, man. That was crazy.
Erica said, I enjoyed watching the 30 Days of Self-Care. It would have been a strain for me if I had to record mine. Honestly, that was the hardest part.
It always is.
Recording and editing was the hardest part, but I'm enjoying, I'm making sure that that doesn't take away from my actual enjoyment from the 30 days, but also it showed me I can show up for 30 days. So now I can make sure, granted, I'm not going to be doing this every single month if I'm this a lot, but now I know, like, oh, okay, so when it comes to my music or when it comes to other things, thank you, I'm like, okay, so how do I take what I just learned by doing this 30 days and apply it to this other thing so that I can make sure I'm showing up for me in this other capacity and reaching my goals every day as well. And that's not going to necessarily be, like, recorded as well, but just let me move, take this from here and use it over here and see what happens. But that's the type of thing that I was like, oh, I can do it, but I don't have to put pressure on it. Because this is not like a perfectly curated vlog, and it don't got all the aesthetics. The people I was looking up that do like the self-care videos and stuff, they be all super aesthetic like, and then I was like, this is a regular video.
Said I just woke up.
I really,
y'all not about to get the
right
the fried down and laid to the side.
I got the shortcut. I could just throw some water in.
Right.
Said, I was laying to the side before I got here. Y'all about to get the raw and uncut.
The most I did was I got a new bonnet that was camera ready. That's what I did. Because it's like I be in my bonnet. So instead of trying to make this perfectly crafted thing, I'm vlogging. So I want you to see me as me and not as
somebody else.
I was going to say Tina that, Turner. But I don't think.
I don't know why I was just starting to think, like, names, just random names just started popping up in my head. Not Oprah. Jenny Jackson.
I want to see me as my authentic self. Where? So that's what I'm saying. So, like, showing up authentically, it helps to take the pressure off, but also not turning your hobbies, every single one of your hobbies, not turning them into either content or a source of income. It's a powerful thing.
I was gonna say, because what happens when you turn every, hypothetically speaking, if you were to turn every single one of your hobbies into a job, what are you gonna do when you're not working?
Working day and night.
You know?
You work at a regular job for your hobby, and then you do your hobbies for your work.
Regular job.
Your regular job.
Yeah, you work squared.
Yeah.
You just work. That's it.
That's nasty. That's nasty. My bad, you can go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think it's a thing of, we feel like we're supposed to turn our hobbies into work because life isn't supposed to be like how it is. And then we go, if we sticking on the social media, we go on there and we see if people be living their best life.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be even going outside, the sun is shining. I'm like, all these beautiful people. Mind you, I be working, like all these beautiful people, like, y'all beautiful. I gotta do something. I enjoy doing this, this, and this. And then people, like you said, they ask for a price, and they're like, I didn't get that far yet. This is my first day out here. I don't know. I'm just trying to see if this is something that I would actually want to do. And I feel like we just feel like we're supposed to be making money off of the things that we enjoy doing. Yeah. I mean, which we are, but it doesn't have to be everything. But when we're keeping up, I'm 17 again, so I can use old phrases and still be young. So when we're trying to keep up with the Joneses and keep up with everything.
He said, yeah, we go all of the old sayings. I don't know why I imagine you ripping your beard off like a Velcro. Like, you know what I'm saying?
When Shakoya was talking, I was about to say the whole kit and caboodle. Like, that was from way back.
Kit and caboodle. Woo.
But.
Oh, man.
I lost it.
You don't have to turn everything.
Oh, yeah, you don't got to turn everything into a hobby. But it feels like we do because we're trying to
keep up with the Joneses.
I don't even think we're just trying to keep. I think that's dead. Like, that's in the past. Now we're literally trying to survive. Mm-hmm. Like, the way the world is going. Speaking of that, I was talking about following the black girlies. Earlier, I picked up some items for the wardrobe. And I was thinking after I left, the old me would have been like, you know, I probably could have used that money for something better. But if I'm following the black girlies,
no, they say,
they live in like without a care in the world.
Listen.
So who would I be?
We have cares.
But just not our cares.
Want to hear something? So what my mother used to tell me, she was like, you know what? If you see something you like it, just buy it.
My mom said that too. I bought a jacket. Yeah. It's 80 degrees outside probably. Like, I bought a jacket. It's warm.
But she was like, you buy it because now you have to, you're going to force yourself to have to put an outfit around it. So I was like, oh, you know what? I might, if I would have left it, I might have found another pair of shoes that would have went perfectly with it, but I didn't buy it. So, you know, I might as well just leave. Now I don't get the shoes and I don't get the jacket. But, I understand. Yeah.
So the moral of that story is follow the black girlies. Don't have a care in the world. You could care.
But not that much.
Thank you.
But, I was gonna say,
we have cares. We just know how to treat ourselves.
You guys just put yourself first.
Or we're learning. No. Don't.
Oh, the black girlies?
I mean,
black girly vlog.
I mean, yes. That's me. That's my journey of putting myself first. But I'm saying we do have cares, but we know how to. We can treat ourselves.
It's called follow the black woman.
Yes.
That's what it's called. Follow the black woman.
What's called that?
Yeah, vlog.
That's no. What you just I didn't say that.
What is happening? What is happening?
That never came out of my mouth.
What's the title? Official title?
Of the series? Mm-hmm. 30 Days of Self-Care.
Nah,
love the creative black woman.
Come on, man. I love the creative black woman.
Come on, man.
I'm like, which one are you talking about? I'm doing two things right now. Sorry, you could go ahead.
Man, y'all done took me far from the
social media.
Hold on.
Hobbies.
Hold on.
God, woman.
God. It was about making your
hobbies your work.
Yep, your hobbies your work. Your hobbies your work. Woo! This thing is leaving. It's gone. It's gone.
Going on. All right.
All these tangents.
My bad.
Sorry.
It was the black woman.
It's all good.
I was following.
It was funny. I appreciate it.
But, I mean, it's good, though, to... I think I still struggle with that sometimes, but it is good, though, to make sure, like, you're treating yourself. Like,
I remember.
Go ahead. Braxton.
That's exactly how I felt when I did that. But I was going to say... I was gonna say,
hey, bro, huh? Bro, huh?
Ow! You know, I lost his thought.
My bad. I was gonna say,
Oh. All right. So when it comes to making your hobbies a job, right? It goes from I'm doing this for fun to I have to do this. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you guys. I don't like doing anything that I have to do.
That's why I stopped recording myself. telling people I'm going to post. I'll be back. As soon as I put the camera, I'll be like, I don't want
to do this. I have to do this? I don't have a choice. Just because you said I don't have a choice, now I feel like I shouldn't do it.
Now I'm going to show you that I got a choice.
Just out of spite. Like, I don't even like being spiteful, but just out of the... Yeah, I'm going to be back in a month. I know I said last, I'm going to be back in a month. I don't want to do it. And I think that's how, like, I think as soon as we make it in our mind that we have to sell this, like, oh, now I have to do this for the customer's always right. I don't believe that.
I bet threw that away once I started working.
But, like, the idea of, that joke was wild. People would be saying some outlandish stuff. I'm not going to say you, right?
Somebody called me stupid.
Yeah, I was about to be like... They saying some wild stuff about you, and you like, yeah, the customer's always right. Nah. Come to the street, bro. Right. Meet me outside.
The wild That's how thing I used to is, feel about it. The lady's daughter was like, Mom, didn't even do anything. And then the manager that was next to me, he was like, he told me he'll finish He'll finish the order because he's listening to the whole thing. I'm trying to be as polite as possible. Sorry to cut your wisdom,
you
King.
Good,
I salute the divinity in you.
Appreciate it. Likewise.
And he was like, you could go to, I'll finish this. But, and he told me, I handled it amazingly. In my mind, I was like, I should have dumped everything out, canceled the transaction, and said you could go to somebody else because this was before I knew my worth. I was valuable. I was a king. That was when I was operating as a peasant.
Erykah said it becomes a chore and is no longer enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think certain things. But I had to, first acknowledging the story that you just told, I understand. Word. It was a couple of customers that I wanted to slap. But that's
but it was a woman. It was a black woman. So I should have said, queen, come on. We family.
Don't say that.
Yeah,
What was
not all skin folk is kin folk.
That's what I was about to say.
Oh, yeah, not, but
that's an old saying.
That's an old saying.
Manipulation. We family. You treat your family like this?
She might treat her family. She probably like does.
Some people treat their family worse.
That's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's another topic for another day.
But, you know, yes, it does. Going back to the topic, it does become a chore, and I feel like that's something that I've learned, but I'm actively putting into use. So, like, before saying, all right, this could be a business, I could turn this into something, I'm like, hold on. Is this something that I want to do long term? Is this something that I want to put effort behind?
Sure, because I still got to learn.
Right. Got to learn this stuff. But also, even when it comes to, like, the social media stuff, I rebranded to stuff that I'm interested in. Like, I was trying to make it look like whatever the musician's page was supposed to look like. And now it's like, well, I'm interested in self-love and self-care. Like, those things are important to me. So, like, let's do that stuff along with my music. So I can post the stuff that I like. And, you know, the people that I actually want to speak to and want to speak to me, like, you know, we got common interests. You know, we could all be here together. Type of thing. So I feel like in doing that, like, because what happens a lot of time too, and I'm going to use like baking as an example. A lot of times somebody might be a really good baker and they bake stuff for their friends and family. And then all of a sudden somebody be like, oh, you should sell this. Like, you should actually do this for real. And you wasn't thinking about doing this for nobody else at all. This wasn't. And sometimes it's a good thing because they bring a good idea to the forefront that you was like, maybe you disqualified yourself from or like whatever. But then sometimes it'd be like, this was just fun for me. Like, I didn't want to do this as a job, but I felt obligated to do it as a job sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it's like figuring out, is this something that I just solely want to do as a hobby, or do I kind of want to make some income off of this a little bit?
And I think there's a happy marriage somewhere in the middle. Like, I think you can make things, and then if people want to buy it from you, like, cool. I mean, listen, if you want to buy it, you can have it, and it's like you can sell it that way. But it doesn't necessarily have to be a whole Fortune 500 company every time you. Every time you have an idea. Perfect example, we were just watching the Parkers downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Shorty made five ponchos. Yeah, I said poncho. Well, it was like a little bag.
Poncho bag,
yeah. She made five ponchos. Somebody approached her, hey, would you be able to make 500? She's never made 500 of this thing before because she made it in her. Yeah, so she's like, I got to start. Let's outsource. Let's get some more people. And it's like, now it's a whole nother. This is just a whole other thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
like also running a business is different than actually like just creating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so even if it's just something like you, if we're going to the baking thing, if you like baking cakes, like it's fun for you to bake one cake. It may be very stressful for you to have to bake 200 cakes. Like, now you're not the same love. You can't even give every cake the same. You might not even be able to give every cake the same amount of love, the attention. So you like, now some of the cakes is off.
The icing.
Yeah, you like, but this don't taste like the.
You already let the cake made this, cool.
Yeah.
The icing look like milk.
Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
Been there.
Ooh. That's not it.
Ooh. I wasn't even talking about you when you said that.
Erykah Sparkle said, I love baking and make a great carrot, key lime, and red velvet cake. That's
good. Well, I make a mean lasagna.
She said, I don't sell them because then I open myself up for critiques.
That is also true.
That's another thing.
That's a big thing, yeah.
They'd be like, I didn't even ask that. I just, here's a cake. Right. I didn't ask if it was, if I should add more this and that. I just.
Yeah, that's what I'm
looking at my cake.
Yeah. Looking for cake. Pause. That was crazy. I was gonna say, it's almost like if you had a baby, and as soon as the baby came out, so, like, you was like, hey, guys, look at what I made. They was like, that baby ugly. And it's like, hey, yo, I didn't ask you nothing. Like, I didn't ask you a single thing. Like, what do you, your baby got a big head. Excuse me?
I said hello.
Yeah, it's like, I just wanted y'all to show, like, I didn't even want to show you. I was just like, I'm holding my baby, and you just.
They just happened to be
here. Yeah, your baby ugly. Hold on.
Why my baby catching strays?
Yeah. So it's just, I don't think we need to make everything a job. I also just don't like the idea of everything being a job.
But I feel like if you have the, I don't know, if you have the urge to turn it into a career or a job, or it is something that you want to pursue, then I say go for it. Because if you have the right support or right people behind you or whatever, then it might not feel like a job. Like, some people might be able to take the weight of the business part of it from you so that then you can just create. So, like, just exploring what your options are, I feel like, is not a bad thing. But I also feel like here now in the U.S., we get so caught up in making everything everything a job, that it's like, all right, well, where is the enjoyable parts of life? And I think that's, it's important to know, all right, this is something I enjoy doing, and I would love to turn this into, like, my full-time career or a job, some type of income, versus this is something that I love to do, and I just love to do it for me, by me, in my own space. Yeah. Like, it's just something that I enjoy. Like, I don't want to... Oh, go ahead.
You good?
I was like, I enjoy archery now. I only did it once, but I'm going to go back. But I'm like, I enjoy archery, but I don't want to professionally pursue that. Like, I don't need to make money off of that. Mm-hmm. If I post that to social media, it's just because I'm posting it to social media. Because it's something that I'm having fun doing. Versus, like, with music, I love music, but I'm also working to make it a viable stream of income as well. So, mm-hmm. just knowing the difference and knowing the balance, I feel like, is important.
Whatever the point was, it's drifting on the memory right now.
I got something. I feel as though the hobby stage is critical. Mm-hmm. So, like, mm-hmm. with the hobby stage, it allows you to actually learn what you need to learn. Yeah, like, about whatever it is that you're doing. So, like, you're constantly getting better over time. Mm-hmm. I feel like the problem comes in where I used to do this as a child, and now it's like, what am I good at? Oh, I could do this, and then it's not even a hobby anymore. I just know I can do it, mm-hmm. and I just try to jump into it as a business. Mind you, I haven't done this in 20 years. Mm-hmm. So the quality that it would be if it was my hobby, or if I was actively doing it, like, for fun, it's not there. And even with that, I'd be feeling like we'd be just trying to jump into stuff because out of desperation. Not because we actually want to, or because everybody else is doing it. Like, if you see a million people with businesses, I feel like you'll start to think that you need to have a business as well.
Say your point before mm-hmm. you forget it, and then I'm going to respond to what you just said.
I had thought of a new point while he was So, that thing I was going to say, the thing that happened, I think one of the biggest changes that happens when you try to make your hobby a job is that the goal is different. Like, before, when it was a hobby, you were trying to get better, or just the whole point was enjoyment, the whole point was pleasure. And now it's not about pleasure or enjoyment, it's about either money or successful business or other people, right? And it's like, this was something for me. So, like, some things you can keep for yourself. But go ahead, what were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say that. What you say?
run the tape.
What you say?
What did I say? I said, when you see a million people with...
Oh, it's not just you seeing a million people with LLCs, or you see the people turning their hobbies mm-hmm. into their biggest payday yet. It's also you hearing, okay, the people who have businesses get tax breaks. Like, you hearing, mm-hmm. like, well, of course, we all know that our governmental system was built to benefit those who have businesses. And if I'm over here struggling while this person who suddenly started this business and is selling courses and is doing all these things is thriving, then I'm like, well, let me go ahead and jump into that. Because I would like to get some tax breaks. I want to be on vacation and be able to write the vacation off. I want to write my dog off as a guard dog. I want to blah, blah, blah. And it's also not realizing that, okay, those things sound great, but you also have to know how to run a business and also know how to do your taxes and all that stuff in order for you to get that stuff. Like, it's not just, I started an LLC, because the LLC is free, okay? So you could just start the LLC, but it's also, you got to make sure you got the right paperwork. You got to make sure, like, it's registered properly. You got to make sure everything is documented. You got to, like, but nobody, I mean, people be talking about it, but, like, most times when you see the people that you're like, oh, well, you know, I do this too. Let me just go ahead and I know how to do this. And you just decide to, you don't realize a lot of times there's, like, a whole business running behind them, aside from it just being what you see on social media.
Word. I think the old saying is the product is free, the game is sold separately, something like that.
But something and I was gonna say, in regards to, I know specifically, like, with, like, vlogging and, like, just the idea of everything being content,
when you turn your life into a job, what's left of your life? Like there's nothing left for you to do. Like, everything, because everything becomes work. So, like, what is your actual life end up being when everything is a part of your job? Like, that's just how as I'm processing it, I'm like, you got to have at least some room where it's like you can turn the off switch on, like, or hit the off switch. Ooh. Not turn the off switch on. That was wild.
Woo! What you said, minus the turn the off switch, whatever that last part was. But that made me think of, I just saw a video, a Will Smith clip, and he was talking about he had the period of his life where he's realizing that, like, nothing that he buys, or no relationship, no material item is, like, will make him happy. Mm-hmm. Like, he was like, you have to bring happy to the relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to bring happy to whatever it is that you're doing. And I feel like a lot of times, like, work wouldn't be work if we didn't have to, like, if we wasn't working to survive.
Honestly, if we wasn't working to pay these bills and to pay for water and all these natural resources that God has given us for free...
Apples, water. You will burn in hell when I'm through with you.
And we weren't working for that, like,
things that God gave us. Just...
Like, then honestly, a lot of us would be just doing what we love to do, and it would be so much enjoyable, even if it was set up as, like, a business or whatever. Because, like, it would just be like, oh no, this is just my main thing that I'm doing. Yeah, so, like, it's
surviving,
like,
wouldn't be. Yeah. The main concern. Yeah. Like, so we have a lot more, it's a lot less stress, like, free. Like, I create best when I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I create, like, the best things that I ever created, I was happy. Any song that I made, no matter how sad it was, when I made it, I was happy. Like,
my heart is broken. But I'm happy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, yeah.
But it's different. It puts a different spin on it, on all of it, especially, like, with the social media. And now, also, when they started changing the algorithm so that, like, okay, nobody's really seeing your posts unless you promote this, you boost this post, or purchase this ad, or whatever, whatever, then it's like, oh, well, now I need to start a business so that my people can see my stuff. And it's just, It just be unnecessary pressure. So I'm with you. I'm going back to just posting what I want to post.
I be trying to figure out, like, if everything is an ad, who's buying? Like, my brain be like, who's buying this? Like, what? Like, why are we? Like, everything is an ad. Like, I can't even go. Like, we talked about this before. I can't even go on the page without it being a sponsored post or click here for more or viewing the shot. I'm like, bro, this is. Can we?
TikTok.
Can we have a conversation? Like, what happened to, like, the regular human element of whatever the social media? Like, it's all it moved from being like, all right, this is us talking, or like even in social media aspect, like it moved from us like, all right, we're talking about things that we didn't like in our job, but now our job is to talk
about things that we didn't like in our job.
Yeah, so now that job isn't even like this thing that was an escape. We talked, which I said earlier, but this thing that was an escape is it's not really an escape because I need an escape from my escape. So that I can, you know, still escape. So I can still escape. Shout out to Escape. But it's a lot of escapism.
Yeah, it be a lot. But yeah, I'm trying not to turn everything into a job.
Word, me too. So. I'm dialing back.
Yeah.
Woo!
But even going back to what you were saying about vlogging, what I learned about vlogging, even like the first time I was doing vlogging, I had realized early on, like, okay, I don't want to show every aspect of my life because most of this is for me. This is my life. But then the other part is like, okay, but I want to share this moment with the world. Mm-hmm. I think it's like finding a happy medium between showing stuff and keeping stuff, you know, private within yourself, your family, whatever it is, because not every moment is meant to be on a stage. Some moments, like I'm not asking you to redo the birthday song because I didn't catch it on my camera. Like, I don't need all of that. And I record a lot of stuff anyways, because that's just who I am, but I don't post everything. So I think that's like figuring out what your medium is. If you are going to be sharing your life as content, it's like, all right, well, what do you want to share? What do you want to keep? Like, I'm willing to share more of my self-care journey and my self-love journey. I'm not willing to share necessarily everything about my relationship. Like, that's not necessarily something that I want to put on display, because that's something that is private, that's between us type of thing. Erica said, I struggle with the statement, if you are doing what you love, you'll never work a day in your life, because there's nothing I want to do consistently if I'm not being paid. So that statement, or y'all got any thoughts on that statement before?
You're going then.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That statement, I understand, because it's like, if you're doing what you love, then it's like, even though you're getting paid for it, it won't feel like work because you're doing the stuff that you love. So like, I think that there is some truth to it. I think that some aspects of it may still feel like work, but it's like a thing where even in those aspects of it where it does feel like work or it does feel like a job, it's still more enjoyable, or you're still able to enjoy it a little bit more than if you were doing something that you hated. So that's my interpretation of it. Like, you'll never work a day in your life, because it's like, you're just having fun the entire time. So, yeah.
Work. For me, I was going to say, that's why I said work wouldn't be work if wasn't trying to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because if you take out the bill aspect, what did it say?
She said, I don't have a dream job because I don't dream of labor.
Yeah.
Word, yeah.
But that's even the thing. Like, even if it's passive income, like, you getting paid to sleep, like, or something like that, it's not going to feel like work because the money's just coming in. But go ahead, sorry.
But once you, like, I feel like once you start doing the stuff for money, that's when it starts to feel like work.
I think that's because of how our society's set up, not because of I don't think it's because of, like, you getting paid for it. I think that the way that our society is set up is the way that we work here in America is not the same how they work in these other countries.
No, I mean, that is true. I wasn't gonna disagree with that. I was just gonna say, I guess the cheat code would be is like when you find things that you enjoy doing, you can still get lost in what you're doing, and then by the end of it, you get paid. That's how I'm processing it now. So if I like doing this, I can do this, get lost in it, have a good time doing this, and then at the end, when I look up, like, oh snap, I forgot I got paid to do this, like that kind of thing. I would like to imagine. I think that for everything, there's going to be things that you don't like about the process, no matter what the process is. There's stuff when it comes to making music. There's parts of the process that I just don't like doing. So, but even those parts, I still enjoy more than I enjoy other stuff.
Like mixing.
Yeah. So like, and I just had got a better relationship with mixing. So
me too, because it's starting to sound good.
Now. Yeah. So like with that relationship, it was like instead of messing around and like allowing myself to be curious or allowing myself to really fall into it, I was looking for an end result. And because I was looking for an end result, if I didn't get the end result, I was mad.
That's the thing. Yeah. It's the end result, at least for me. Because when you first showed me how to mix, I was just happy to be mixing. I'm just mixing everything. It sounds terrible. Like, looking back, I'm like, that was bad. And I even be like listening to music now, and I'll be like, why did they do the reverb? Like, it might even be like little stuff. Like, and now I'll be able to, like, I was listening to a PNB rock song, rest in peace to PNB. And one of his backgrounds, like the way the background vocals were, it had mad, I don't know the words, but I could see the reverb and what it would look like if I turned a certain thing up. Mm. And it was just a lot in the background. I'm like, I see where he was going for. I wouldn't have chose that. Yeah. But like, I look at stuff differently now because I was doing the stuff just to
enjoy it. She said, once I'm being paid, it's a requirement and I have to do it to survive financially.
I don't think it has to be that way. I think we gotta do a better job of like, so just because you get paid for it doesn't necessarily mean this has to be the thing that supports your entire life. Mm-hmm. So I had learned that it was a Rick Rubin interview. He was like, if you like doing this one thing and you need a job to support you so that you can continue to do this one thing, then let that be the focal point of like continue to get a job. Right. So like the hobby, you can still get paid for it. And that doesn't have to be your sole source of income. I think that's where a lot of us, we're trying to make every hobby our sole source of income. So maybe that's what we need to stop doing, is trying to make this thing like, oh, this has to pay all of my bills. And it's like, nah, this could literally be my fun money account. Like, this could just be something where it's like, oh, I just sold a new painting. Guess I'm buying a new pair of shoes. And it's like, it could be one of those things. I just think we have to change like the relationship. Hopefully that helps with changing the relationship with...
Help me.
changing the relationship with like us getting paid, to do things that we love. Cause I think also a thing that I had to really unlearn was that like, if I'm going to go to work and I'm going to hate it, the very least I have to get paid for it. So like, if I'm going to do something I hate, I have to get paid a lot for it. If I'm going to do something I love, it's okay if I get paid pennies for it. It doesn't have to be that. At least I had to reprogram myself. Like, it doesn't have to be that way. Like, I can get paid a decent amount for things that I love, and like, I don't have to, like, I think a lot of the way we treat work, like, I'm gonna go there to suffer, so at the very least, you better give me my check. And that's why every day we there, we like, man, I hate it there, but they better, hey, listen, it's payday, I'm getting paid for my suffering, they better pay me for my suffering, I've been waiting all week for this. Hopefully all of that made sense. I know I was on a
The only thing I was gonna say was, Hold on. I'm just trying to get through. I'm going to cut this part out while I think. it was about the expectation that just because we love it, our success is going to come overnight. Mm-hmm. That'd be a thing with me. Like, be like, I love this thing so much. I've been doing this, and I'll be expecting the success of it, or not even the success of it, because if I'm doing it, I'm here already. But the money that's attached to it, we expecting it to be an overnight thing rather than a gradual thing. Mm-hmm. Just because, and then I feel like that goes back to the hobby stage being necessary and doing stuff out of desperation. Mm-hmm. Because if we weren't, again, if we wasn't trying to survive, I could care less if I was like we wasn't trying to survive. If everything, if all our basic needs were met, and all the money that we brought in was to enjoy life, the stuff that we love will be a lot more, like, the creative aspect and process of stuff will be a lot more freeing. Mm-hmm. It's not like I have to do this so I can, yeah. Like, it's not, yeah, an exchange of my efforts for, my efforts and time for, to pay for something. It's, mm-hmm, like a, yeah, it's more enjoyable.
And I think that's the thing, like, it's all about our mindset when it comes to it. I think that the mindset that we have around, okay, I'm turning this into a business or a stream of income, like, even if, because, and this is me speaking from my own personal experience, like, it becomes a mindset of, I have to do this, or I have to make money off of this, or now, you know, because I hate my job, I have to transition into this being whatever my full-time income is, because, I mean, I tried that. And
you and me both.
But then it's,
they
also
wasn't buying.
Right. But then it's also the thing where, like, I didn't go through, like you were saying, that hobby phase. It was a hobby, but it wasn't a consistent hobby. Like, it's not something that I was doing a lot, or it was a new hobby. And I'm like, oh, all right, bet. I did good on this one first try. Let me go ahead and da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I did my little research for 2 days, and then I decided I'm doing this. Yeah, and yeah. I feel like there are some things where, like, okay, it might happen like that. And there are other things where it's like, it might take some time. But either way, are you enjoying it?
Yeah. I was trying to resell clothes years ago. Mm-hmm. And I realized, like, immediately, if I pick it up, it's because I want it. I'm not trying to sell it.
Yo, you know,
I'm picking this up because I want to wear this.
Yo, the exact same thing happened to me with photography to start. Because I was like, oh, I'm doing this, but it's going to be fire. It's going to be fire. And then, mind you, I might be in my freshman year. I realized I can't take these pictures of myself. Like, I want to take these pictures of myself, but, like, I'm not going to be able to see myself taking the pictures of myself. Dang, I don't want to be a photographer for other people. I want to have nice pictures. Like, what am I doing? And it's the same, it's the exact same thing. So I definitely agree. I had something else
too. I gave them shoes to you.
Yeah, you did.
I gave the jean jacket to you. I was just giving stuff away. Like, this don't fit me, so I can't wear it.
Yeah.
I might as well have the people that I like have some
different.
Yeah, that's good.
I still need to get a fit for them shoes. Go ahead.
I was going to say also something that I think is very obvious, but I think still needs to be stated when it comes to the hobby, is the reason why, like, something that makes the hobby so enjoyable is, like, you're excited to do it because you don't get a chance to do it as often as you would like. So, like, you're like, oh, snap. In my mind, it's like, hey, I would love to be able to knit all day, right? In actuality,
you don't want to knit all day.
Right, you thought you did until you had to do it, or until you were doing it all day, and it's like, okay, maybe this was like a release of tension because of whatever circumstance, and it's like the excitement that you brought to it was also the reason why you enjoyed it. So I think sometimes when you get paid for it, you lose the level of excitement to go do the thing that you were trying to do in the first place.
Or
just gonna say to Erica's statement about if you do something that you love, you'll never have to work a day in your life. If you're doing everything, even the parts that you don't enjoy, once you get back to the part that you do enjoy, you still have that same excitement around it.
I was also going to say, just going back to what you said about focusing on, like, enjoying it because you don't get to do it often. I was like, sometimes the thing is that once you start getting paid for it, it's not a matter of you don't enjoy it anymore. You're just focused on the wrong part. You're focused on the money coming in now. You're not focused on the actual thing. Like, you're not focused on doing the hobby. You're not focused on enjoying what you're doing. You're focused on how much money is this going to make me? Like, how much can I put down for billable hours for this thing? Like, what's going on for the invoice? Like, that's really what it is. Like, how much? Okay, so now I got to calculate labor. I got to calculate, like, it's other things that you're thinking about. Instead of, like, when you were just doing it as a hobby, it's like, I'm literally just thinking about doing this thing. And I think that even speaks to how we talk about with music, not judging the creation while you're creating it. Mm-hmm. It's like, let, like, create the thing, do the hobby, focus on enjoying yourself doing it. Of course, keep track of whatever, but, like, all right, if you need to write down your start time, write down your start time and then lock in on you enjoying your experience, and then write down your end time, and then figure out, like, handle the business part outside of it, but enjoy the process of you actually doing the thing that you love. I think that's what happens. I think that's what happened to me. So now it's like, all right, now I got to reprogram, rewire my brain, refocus and be like, all right, while I'm doing the thing that I enjoy, I'm going to enjoy the thing that I'm doing. And then I'll worry about the rest, even if it's just immediately after, or even if you calculate it immediately before, or you set up some sort of template so you don't have to worry about it going forward. But I think the whole thing about, you, if you're doing what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. It's like, it's because I am enjoying it, and it still feels like a hobby because I'm focused on doing the thing that I love.
Yeah, I was going to say the ultimate cheat code that I have found from Stephen Pressfield, he was saying act and then reflect.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, while you're doing the thing you're doing, just do the thing you're doing and then reflect on what it means, where is this going to go, who's going to buy this, whatever that is. Focus on that after you finish. So that, because it's like you're trying to figure out who this is for when you're still trying to, like, while you're still making it. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh yeah, I think I'm making the jacket. I think this is going to be for single moms who blah, blah. And then by the time you finish, you're looking at the jacket like, I don't know if this is for single moms or biker dads. I don't know who this is. I thought I was going for this. Like, just finish whatever you're doing, enjoy whatever you're doing, and then we can worry about if in the future you can sell it.
Or how to sell it,
whatever. Because that takes a totally different it's a totally different part of your brain.
Right.
So it's like, let's just make the thing. And if we happen to sell it, fire. If we don't, hey, I'm just glad I made it. Like, yeah. I'm glad I showed up. So
even going back to Erica's point of, like, selling the stuff, opening up the door for critiques.
Mm.
If I'm enjoying what I do, like, so I bought myself a bouquet of flowers, right? And when I was setting them up, I was like, you know what? I don't know what I'm doing. I know to cut these stems at an angle, but I don't know what I'm doing. So, like, now I want to learn how to, like, arrange the flowers or whatever. Yesterday, when I did it, because I bought another bouquet, I was like, this don't look how I pictured it in my head, but I don't care because I made it, and I like the fact that I did it. And now, if people critique it, people critique it. That's none of my business. I feel like at a certain point, if you do feel led to turn something into a business or to sell something, don't worry about if it's going to be critiqued. Like, just focus on enjoying what you do and just focus on, I mean, just make the best thing that you know how to make. Like, you do this. Like, but I know the criticism is not, it's not fun. Mm-hmm. But I think that a lot of times, because even for my music, sometimes in the past, I used to be like, dang, as I'm writing it or as I'm about to record it, I'm like, dang, my parents is going to hear this. I've said this before. Like, dang, my parents is going to hear this. They're going to share this with the church. Like, this ain't that kind of song. I don't know if you want to share it with the congregation, but I know they'd be out here in these streets. But just thinking about that, but I'm thinking about the critiques before I even finish the actual creation. And then it throws me off. So then I'm so focused on what criticism is about to come in versus just enjoying my process. And I'm like, I have to, now I actively have to like push that out of my mind and just allow myself to create. So even if you decide to sell a cake or like anything like that, just make sure while you are creating, you are creating. Like, and worry about the critiques when they get there. Cause they, the critique might be, this is the best cake I ever had. Like, you just don't know.
Yeah.
But it's still a thing of discernment. Like, do I want to do this?
Yeah, I was gonna add two things hearing you talk about it. The first thought I had was when you was talking about like, yeah, just focus on the fact that I made it. All I could hear in my head was Coach Carter talking when he was tying the shoe. Like, I did that. You see that ball? You see that knot? Woo! I did that. That's all I heard in my head.
That's how I was fooling with the flowers. Yeah, I was like, listen, they like, not I even, but they done.
You see that? You see that arrangement?
Those things is done.
I did that. And what I was going to say was sometimes the critique, like the critique could be helpful for when you go back later the next time, but like it could be, they could be like, you know, I love the cake. I think your icing, you might be able to do a little bit less icing. And so the next time when you're doing it, you'd be like, all right, you know what? Maybe I can try it. Let's just see what happens. And
or it's like, it could be like an option.
Yeah. It's always optional. Cause I mean, you critiquing, I made it.
No, I'm saying,
no, like, saying like oh, it can be an added option. Like regular amount of icing, less light icing, extra icing.
I was in a different
icing on the side. Yeah. But that's like, yeah, that to what both of y'all were saying.
Completely missed that one.
That's
that
good,
good
stuff.
That's good. Y'all good, man. Y'all thinkers.
But yeah, just. I think that, but that even goes back to the social media. Like the aspect of trying to make everything perfect on social media stems from, I don't want to be critiqued for my stuff not looking as good as this other person's stuff. Or me not looking like I'm in this place in my life versus this person who we're the same age or we're doing the same thing and they're already here, but I just got started. But also, either way, my stuff should look as perfect as theirs. And it's like, it's all a journey.
Yeah.
One thing that I just started thinking about, I got a lot less critiques when I was the most consistent. Like, it wasn't really any critiques on my stuff when it was just like when I was videos back to back to back to back to back. It might have just been like, yeah, nobody said anything to me except when I stopped. It, like, the most I might have got was, like, you still doing music or where are your videos at, like that type of thing. But like the more consistent I was, the less critique I got.
Yeah.
Then when I stopped, like they'll say, this was your best song. But if like once I'm flooding the market, you don't have time to say
this is your best song.
Like, it's just like I'm trying to keep up with what's going on.
And I think to that point, it's people get a chance to see you improving in real time, so they don't actually have a critique. Like, they may have a critique in their head, but they're like, let's see if he changes it next time, let's see if he changes it. And it's like, as they're watching you progress, like, I think their critiques kind of like just fade to the background or whatever.
Now it's like a show.
Yeah.
At this point, they're just seeing what's coming next.
She said, I get, this is good, but can you make a chocolate cake? I'm thinking y'all got this cake free. That'd be the thing though. I can make I can make you a chocolate cake for whatever price. Like the free cake you just gave them, and that's the introductory. And then it's like, I mean, if you want something else, then refer to my menu. Like, go ahead.
I was gonna say, and something that helped me a lot, I don't know when it happened, but thank God that it did, is like when I actually take things as far as I feel like I can take them. Like, you can critique me, but it's like, listen, I tried everything that I could do.
Right, and you like, ain't out here.
It's like a school.
Me and Gallus. I still think I buy it.
Oh, man. Like, but it reminds me of school. Like, I remember there was times where it's like, if I studied, and if it was a really tough subject, if I studied, I did everything, I'm like, listen, I was up for hours, right? If I didn't get 100, if I got 8, listen, That's all I had. Yeah. I don't know what you want me to do. Like, I told my parents, listen.
You watched me.
Yeah, I was like, I was night and day. I was up. I'm doing the formulas. I got my calculator with me. I was like,
I got my cheat sheet.
You know what I'm saying? I did everything but cheat.
Like, you got the whole back of the test to write the formulas down. I did that. Yeah. The numbers, I input them. And it gave me this. This is what
I got.
Gave me 83%. Yeah. And I'm fine with that because I tried.
Yeah, and I think that's like it's a lot less, like the critiques hurt a lot less when I know I pushed to the point that I couldn't push any further. Then it's not as much like, because when I don't, I people's critiques aren't even really about the critiques. It's about me. It's about them hitting something like in my mind that I already knew that I didn't do. Like I didn't. It's like, you said I didn't commit to that note. You know what? I knew I didn't commit to that note, but you just validated that I knew in my head that I didn't commit to that note. So it's just like that's where the critiques usually hit me. But it's once I realize that, oh, I just haven't pushed it to the limit that I know that I probably could have or should have. Then what did I even say? I lost my whole train of thought. Once I know that I push the thing as far as it can go, the critiques bother me a lot less.
Push it to the limit.
I think that's the thing too. When you know that you gave it your all, the critiques, for me at least, I know they don't have as much power or as much hold. I can look at it a lot more objectively. Because that and also when it's not immediately after. Sometimes you want a little space to process whatever you just created and then, you know, let the critiques come in. But it's also like, well, I have this kind of get in my head, like, I don't really care what you think. I did this thing. I like it and I'm going to do it. But then on the other hand, it's kind of like, all right, when I'm ready to, I guess, be more receptive to the criticism, then I can, that gives me the space that I need. Because people going to critique when they're going to critique. It's up to you to determine whether or not you're open to receive it or you're going to just be like, hold on. So then I can take the step back that I need and then go ahead and be like, all right, I'm ready. If I am ready, if I'm accepting criticism at that time. But like you said, it can be constructive. It can be something that helps. It can be like, oh, well, now I know I can give these people this option of this thing versus just like, this is what you get. This is all we got. And like, sometimes it needs to be like, this is what you get. But then sometimes like, maybe you'll get one or two options. She said, great perspectives. I wish I had them when that was said to me. Unfortunately, since my coworkers made excuses for the person criticizing, I didn't bake for them for 3 years.
Ooh. You don't deserve no baked goods.
Give me my cake back. Get out of here.
But I get that though, because sometimes it's like, hold on, I just did all of this and I didn't even charge you. And now it's like, you know, I've been in that situation. Mm. Now it's like, I don't want to do nothing else for you or anybody else at that point. But I think that it's important to kind of take a step back when you're ready, like process the moment and then be like, okay, well, how can I use this to my advantage? Or like, do people want chocolate cakes? Like, is this a thing? Do I want to bake for more people? Or I don't know. You know, I don't think it should stop you. But that's up to you to decide.
Word. And you know, some people just ungrateful, as Papa Pope would say.
Yep. Some people really
just
are.
Just ungrateful. Just, you know, but at the end of the day, even if it's something that like you made a vanilla cake, you granted for making vanilla cakes, and then they actually make a chocolate cake, it didn't go how you necessarily want, but maybe it's the first time you're doing it. It's the first time. It's no stakes for you. It's like you just, hey, on paper, I should be able to do it, but I never made this before. What you want me to do?
That's why it be taking me so long to do paintings for myself. Because each painting be something different.
Mm-hmm.
And I be like, so I just stop. I be like overwhelmed. I be like, I don't know how to do this. I need time to take a step back and just think about what I just did. And how I'm going to do this. But I'll make it to the other side.
I think it's also...
The grass is greener on the other side.
Before I say my statement, she said, I don't bake chocolate cake. She was ungrateful.
Oh, man.
want to know why you don't bake chocolate cake. But also, I do think, even just thinking about like the criticism, at the end of the day, 9 times out of 10, we are typically our worst critics anyways. Yeah. So a lot of times, whatever they're about to say, I might have already said to myself, or might have already realized or had decided I could do better. And it's like, okay, sticks and stones at that point. Like, you, yeah, sticks and stones can maybe break my bones, but words can never break. For some reason, I felt like I needed to say the whole thing. But just remembering that, like, okay, I'm typically my worst critic anyway, so let me see what these people got to say.
Yeah, and that's another thing. I think a lot of times we're looking for anybody's, like, the negative criticism to validate. All right, cool. I knew that already. So, but I think every once in a while you'll see a comment. You'd be like, that was
uncalled for.
Yeah, that was who? What? You said my icing needs more.
This is the best icing in the world.
It's like, that's not even, we're not even talking about the icing. Let's get back to the cake, the contents of your cake character. We got to make sure we get back to that. You talk about the icing. The icing, I can buy some good icing. You ain't got to worry about that. But yeah.
She said, I don't eat chocolate cake. I bake what I love and share it with the world.
That's what you're supposed to do.
If no one likes it, I'll eat it myself. First of all, I love chocolate cake. But I think that's valid, like, because, I mean, we're talking about doing what you love. Your hobby is about what you love. So if you baking, I'm only baking what I like. That's how you set boundaries.
And then, it's a book out there for you. It's called The Gold Giver. It's an amazing book. I love that book.
Oh, I still have to read that one.
Like, they could come for you for chocolate cake, and you're like, nah, I don't do chocolate cake. Then you could pass them off to somebody else who you know
that does chocolate cake.
And now, yeah, it's just building relationships.
Yeah. And then they can refer people to you and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
More business.
The Go Giver. That's the name of the book.
Yeah.
The
Go Giver. Author, I can't think of right now, but fire book.
Yeah, it's really good.
But, do y'all have, this episode is actually a lot longer than I expected.
Like hour 20.
But do y'all have any final thoughts on criticism, using social media like a business? We've talked about so many things in relation to turning your hobbies into businesses.
I feel like that was probably
the biggest. That was like the biggest thing. We might need to do part two episode on this.
hit a nerve.
Honestly, because I'm really over here, like, Damani said something early, when we watched this back, I'm like, I needed that again, because I'm probably going to have another business idea. But do y'all have any final thoughts on any of those things?
I'm back enjoying the stuff that I enjoy. I'm keeping certain stuff for me, and with the stuff that's for me, I'm going to just show the result. But, like, yeah.
You they don't need to see every single step. Every little step I take.
Can you just lower it down a little bit for my background? Yeah, so what I am going to do, I'm bringing my life back to me purposefully. My hobbies are my hobbies, and that hobby period is very important. Very important for us to prevail. And, you know, take things to another level. They say work wouldn't be work if we wasn't working. And I agree with that. Because work is work. It's only work. Yeah. I'll turn it back up.
Every little step I take.
Oh, that's funny.
Do you have any final thoughts?
Just have fun. I think that's the main thing. Just have fun. It's okay to, you don't have to turn every hobby into a job. Enjoy your hobbies. Enjoy your work if you can. And yeah, that's all I got for y'all, man.
Just a side note, I really be wishing I could see these comments.
Yeah. Put your glasses on.
Then there's going to be a glare in my glasses.
Listen. It's glaring both of mine.
I know. I see it every week. I'm like, dang, she needs to stop wearing glasses.
I need to see comments.
Or sometimes I be having a hard time, especially when they get like when there's an exclamation mark right after the letters. I'd be like, "Oh man, what is that? Is that a A or a U? Is that
a L?"
Yeah, I'm
you
like.
You also wear contacts. You don't have contacts.
I don't.
Wow, I think y'all still can't see. I just see an emoji.
She said, "I love y'all. We love you too.
Love.
Okay, so my final thoughts are." Yeah, you don't have to turn every hobby into a job. I'm still learning this. Don't at me. yeah, have fun. I'm learning to enjoy life again and just enjoy everything, big and small. So just do that. Have fun and keep some things for yourself, but also be comfortable sharing things authentically as you are with the world if you want to. And if you don't, then don't. But thank you guys for joining us for another episode of the Gray Area Podcast.
Yeah.
I'm Shaquoia D.
Bodman Breezins in Ear.
It's your boy Damani.
And don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend. Hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload.
Ding.
And if you want to join the good people of the gray area, make sure you come on down the life row, okay? Head on over to the Patreon. The link is in the description below, and you'll be able to watch this podcast early and live. Join in on the conversation as well as other content. We will see you guys next week. Bye!
Adios!
Stay blessed. Stay black, people.
Especially my black people.
You say what?
And know yourself, know your worth.
Jukebox, give me another J.
Get out my face.